Good morning, friends. Can I say it? I miss you. What a celebration when we gather again, and we hope that it's sooner than later. Until then, I'm wondering what you've been thinking about during these days. If you're like me, you have plenty of time to think. And what's been happening to me is I have had many more saunas in the last 2 weeks than I usually do. And when I'm in the sauna, that's when I do a lot of my thinking about important matters and praying. It's kind of like my prayer closet. And I know that I'm thinking, and you are certainly thinking these days, about your physical health and safety. And that really matters. But you need to know that when I'm in my sauna and I'm thinking and I'm praying, I'm also interested in your spiritual health. And so with that in mind, this morning I would like to direct your attention to something the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12. So if you would turn in your Bibles to Romans 12. The Apostle Paul, interestingly enough, is not issuing a command here. He is pleading with us. He is, as the King James says, beseeching us. And I would like to read this for you and then talk about it a little bit this morning. So we're going to look at verses 1 and 2 of Romans 12, but to get there, we need to come through the last part of chapter 11. So I'm going to begin reading at Romans 11:33. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation, by the way, so that you're aware of that. Oh, how great are God's riches and wisdom and knowledge. How impossible it is for us to understand His decisions and His ways. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to give Him advice? And who has given Him so much that He needs to pay it back? For everything comes from Him and exists by His power and is intended for His glory. All glory to Him forever. Amen. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Before we look at those familiar verses, why don't you bow and pray with me, no matter where you are. Our Father, we thank You that we can enter Your Word this morning together. Father, these are familiar verses to us. But, Father, they are so important, and we need to be thinking about them these days. I would ask that You would speak to us, as You have spoken to so many through these verses in the past. Do it again, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. In the summer when I was probably 6 or 7 years old, my parents decided that I needed to go to swimming lessons. Swimming lessons were once a week. We had to go to the school, catch a bus, and be taken out to the state park, 6 miles out of town. And there we would have our swimming lessons. I did not want to go. And the truth is, I was afraid. I'm not sure now, as I think back, what I was afraid of, but I'm guessing I was afraid of maybe learning to swim, the water, I don't know. Maybe I was afraid of the bus ride with all those kids. Maybe I was afraid of the kids from other schools that would be at the swimming lessons. Maybe I was afraid of the teachers. I don't know. But I did not want to go to swimming lessons. But the first day came, and I grabbed my towel and my swimming trunks, and I walked the 8 blocks to the school. I got there before any of the other students. And so I hid behind the school so that no one would see me. And all the kids from town came and got on the bus, and the bus took off for swimming lessons. Once they were gone down the road, I walked the 8 blocks back home. On the way home, there was a ditch with water in it. I dipped my swimming trunks and towel in the water so that they would be wet. And when I got home, I hid for a couple hours behind the garage and played in the sandbox. Eventually, when I saw some neighbor kids coming home from swimming lessons, I then came out of my hiding place, hung my swimming trunks and towel on the clothesline, and went in. And for that next week, I deceived my parents. I pretended that I had been to swimming lessons. I lied. I was a fake for that week. You might be asking, so how did it go? How did it end up for me? Well, I'll let you know in a while, toward the end of the message. What I want to do is take us through Romans 12, 1 and 2, which is so familiar to us. It won't take long. I'm going to remind you of what the Apostle Paul is saying here and get you to think about it and to keep thinking about it. This pair of verses is about surrendering all to God. It's about becoming different, being transformed, and it's about learning God's will, being able to determine what God's will is for you. So first of all, the idea of surrendering all in verse 1. Paul says again, and so, or in other translations, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you. He's begging. I plead with you to give your bodies to God because all he has done for you, let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. The reason I read the last part of chapter 11 that talks about the greatness of God and how far beyond us he is that Paul is saying now, because that's true, because of God's greatness, it makes sense that we give our all to him, that we present or offer, as he says, our bodies to God as a living sacrifice. Now, why would he say bodies? I want to suggest to you that he's not just talking about presenting our physical body. I think he's using the term body because within our body is everything else about us. Everything about us is contained in our body, whether it's our thoughts, our desires, all of those things are contained within this container called our body. So I would suggest to you that when Paul pleads with us to present or offer our bodies to God, he's saying, surrender all, offer all, every part of you, not just a piece of you. It's a total surrender. And he goes on to say, it's reasonable. It's a reasonable act of worship. There's a story of this little girl who was sitting at the center aisle in church when the offering plates were passed. And when the usher came to her row and gave her the plate to pass on, instead of taking the plate and passing it on, she took the plate, put it on the floor, got up and stood in the offering plate. Little 3-4-year-old girl. And the usher got down on his one knee and he asked the girl what she was doing. And she said that in Sunday school, the hour before, the teacher was telling them that they needed to, what this verse says, give their bodies to God. And so she felt that when the offering plate was being passed, that would be a good time for her to give her body in the offering. Not quite what Paul is saying, but it's the idea. When we give our bodies, we give our all. Everything our body contains. Now, I want to point out something to you here in this verse. You probably know it. But Paul, is addressing his dear brothers and sisters. I believe that this pair of verses is addressed to believers. They are the people who were the sinners of chapters 1 to 3 of Romans. They are the people who responded to the gospel of chapters 4 through 6 and 10. They are the people who believed in Jesus and confessed Him as Lord, placed their faith in Him. These are the people that have been given the Holy Spirit and security spoken of in chapter 8. He calls them brothers and sisters. I don't believe this is a pair of verses that deals with salvation. Let me suggest it's a pair of verses addressed to believers, the brothers and sisters, presenting a proper response to God for the salvation that He has given them. And so Paul pleads, surrender all. But you know what? There are a lot of believers who are afraid to do that. They are afraid to surrender all to the God who saved them. What are they afraid of? Well, I don't know. You know, I could give you a list of possibilities, but I don't think the pastor should tell you why you're afraid to surrender all to God. If you're afraid to surrender all to God, you know what you're afraid of. And I just encourage you in the days and weeks ahead to think on that. If you're a person who has been resisting surrendering your all of you, being all in with God because of what He has done for you, and you're resisting out of fear, you need to sit down and think about that. What are those fears? What am I afraid of that's becoming a barrier to me just giving it all to the God who saved me? The second thing we see Paul pleading with the Roman Christians about is in verse 2. He says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. He's talking about being different. God transforming us, changing us, and us becoming different so that we're no longer copying the ways of the world. And he talks about God changing our thinking because that's really where it starts, isn't it? It's our thinking. It's what's going on in our minds, how we think about things. And when our thinking changes, our behavior and our way of living and our attitudes and our relationships and all those things begin to change. And so Paul is saying, surrender all and let God change you so that you will become different from this world. But some of us are afraid to let God change us. Some of us are afraid to let God do His transforming work in our lives. Some of us are afraid to become different. And that's pretty common, isn't it? Now, I know my reasons why sometimes I'm afraid to be different. But again, as the pastor, I don't believe I should give you the list of the things you're afraid of that keep you from being willing to let God change your life and you become different. If you're resisting that, you know what you're afraid of. You know what your fears are when you think of letting God change you and change the way you think and becoming different. You know what those fears are that are creating barriers to letting God transform you. So again, in these days and weeks ahead, I encourage you to spend time thinking about this. God wants to transform your thinking, friends. Now that He saved you, He wants to change the way you think so that it will change you totally. And you'll be different, yes. But that's the work He wants to do in your life. Ask yourself, why are you afraid to let God do that? Really think that through. As we come to the last part of chapter 12, verse 2 of Romans, Paul says, then, and I'm going to come back to that word then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Now notice what he says about God's will for you. It's good, it's pleasing, and it's perfect. And he also says you can learn to know God's will for you. But the statement begins with, then you will learn to know God's will for you. What does that mean? Then. That almost sounds like this will come after something else, right? Well, in the passage, what would it be that would come before this where Paul could say, if that's true, then you will learn how to know God's will for you? Well, we've looked at two things. Surrendering all. Being willing, because of God's salvation and what He's done in your life, to surrender all to Him, all of you, as a sacrifice. And then, being willing to let Him transform you, change your thinking, so that you would become different. And if you do those two things, I believe what Paul is saying is, then, when you've surrendered all, then, when you're letting God change your thinking, change you, so that you're becoming different for Him and making a difference, then you will learn to know God's will for you. And that will is good, and it's pleasing, and it's perfect. But some of us are afraid to learn what God's will is for us. We like to think about what God's will generally is for other people, I guess. But when we start thinking about being able to actually learn what God's will is for us, that can create some fears. And so we're afraid to be in a position where we can learn God's will for us. Why? What are we afraid of? Well, it seems like we come up with a lot of what ifs. You know, what if His will is this? What if His will isn't what I have planned? What if His will is the worst possible thing I could think of? And we come up with these what ifs, and we have these fears, and they become barriers, which really in some ways doesn't make sense, but they become barriers to being able to learn what God's will is for us. We want to know what God's will is for us, I think. But we would like to skip the surrender all part and the let Him change me part. for one thing, and just find out what His will is for us. But some of us, even though we want to know God's will for us, we're afraid to find out what it is. Interesting. And again, I'm not going to give you a list of specific things you might be afraid of and your specific what-ifs concerning learning what God's will is for you. You know what they are if you're afraid to know what God's will is for you. In the next days and weeks, take time to consider this and think about this. Am I willing to learn God's will for me? And am I willing to not skip over surrendering all and letting God change me into someone who is different so that I can learn how to discern God's will for me in my life? So there you have it. Three pleadings from the Apostle Paul based on the greatness of God and the salvation that He has given to us through Jesus Christ. Paul says, I plead with you. Surrender all. I plead with you. Let God change you. Be willing to become different. I plead with you, Paul says. Be willing to learn what God's will is for you. And for many of us, we have to break through fear. We have to break through the things that we're afraid of if we do these three things, if we let these three things happen. I want you to think about this. Spend time in these verses again this week. Pray about them. I'm going to do that in the sauna. Well, back to the swimming lessons story. I can't leave you hanging. How did that story turn out? Well, the rest of that week, as I continued my deception with my parents, as I continued pretending that I had gone to swimming lessons, I was also spending time with my friends around town. And as I did, they were talking to me about swimming lessons. And they were telling me I should go. They were telling me how great it was and how much fun it was and how neat the teachers were and that they had met some new friends and that it was so nice to be in the water on a hot day. And then they would talk about how they got to buy Cheetos and Laffy Taffy and fudge bars. And you know what? My friends that week convinced me that it might be worth it to go to swimming lessons. And so, the second week of swimming lessons, I broke through my fears, whatever they were. It's been a long time. I don't remember what they were. But I broke through my fears, and I got my swimming trunks and my towel, and I walked the 8 blocks to the school, and I stood out there with my friends, got on the bus, and went to swimming lessons. And you know what? It was worth it. I had a blast. And for 5 summers straight, I went to swimming lessons. And I learned how to swim. It was worth it. I met new friends. It was worth it. I ate 5 summers worth of Cheetos, Laffy Taffy, and fudge bars. It was worth it. But I had to break through those fears that I had. Thank God for my friends, I guess, that encouraged me and let me know that it was worth it. Now, I don't expect my story about my swimming lessons are going to be the clincher to get you to think seriously about what Paul is pleading with us here in Romans. And so I've asked my wife Janine, who is a real person and whose voice you might enjoy hearing, to share with us the role that Romans 12, 1 and 2 played in her life. And so she'll do that right now, and then I'll wrap things up.
This week I've been spending a lot of time thinking about Romans 12, 1 and 2 again because Marlon asked me to. And any of you that have been in my teen Sunday school classes or in ladies' Bible study with me or different situations, you know that Romans 12, 1 and 2 are my very favorite verses, my life verses. This week I've had the chance to just be looking back to see how it worked in my life. And I have felt so grateful to God and so beyond blessed at His faithfulness to me. So it goes back to when I was 12 years old and Daily Vacation Bible School. And I remember we had two ladies that came and helped to do our Vacation Bible School. Every year at Vacation Bible School, we memorize verses. And, you know, I've got verses tucked away that I can remember parts of. But Romans 12, 1 and 2, I memorized. And that impacted me in such a way that I just, it's from that day forth, it has been just the verses that I have lived by. It's had such a profound effect on me. The first part in Romans 12, and it says, "So dear brothers and sisters," and I love that because right now that's even more meaningful to us now, isn't it? "I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable." Now, Marlon said maybe it's more than just our physical bodies, and I agree with him. But for me as a 12-year-old, it meant to give my body to Jesus. And coupled along with the other scriptures that I knew had been taught and that my parents had taught me was that I knew that my body was the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so I already knew that my body was a very important place, which placed a high value on it. And this week as I've been thinking about it in the sacrifice, the living sacrifice part, one of the new things that I've thought about was in the Old Testament when they would bring doves or a perfect lamb or whatever as a sacrifice, they were living and they had to die. And then I thought, you know what? Jesus was the living sacrifice. And it was His body that He did sacrifice for us. And that's just been really impacting me this week. But the thing is that I made a commitment to honor God with my body as a 12-year-old girl. And as I look back now, I realize, wow, that hugely impacted me in the years to come. And one of the ways it was that I knew nobody better mess with the temple of God. But what it did was, at that age of 12 years old, it gave me identity. Because I knew who I belonged to, and I knew who lived in me. And the impact that had on me, I think I didn't realize at that time how important that was. So I gave my body. I gave it to God when I was 12 years old. But then it gets to the part of don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. I was afraid to be different when I was in ninth grade. I went to Effie grade school through grade 8 with the same 16 kids. And then when I went to Big Fork, there were was the kids that went to Big Fork and three other grade schools. We all joined together to become a class of 42. This summer, we will be celebrating 50 years since we graduated. Wow. Anyway, when I came into ninth grade, it was like a big change for me because suddenly there were many more kids that I didn't know. And as I entered there, I thought about what I wanted in high school. And I decided, and, you know, I did not keep this from God. I talked to him about it. I said to him, you know what, God? I don't want to be different. I want, more than anything, I want to be popular in my class. And I think I'm willing to do just about anything to be popular. So, God, as long as I can remember, I have loved you and walked with you, and you have been with me. But I'm going to ask you not to be with me now, because I don't think I can be popular and be following you. So I'm going to go on my own. And I did. Now, I don't know if it was a week or if it was a month. All I know was that I was miserable. And after a short period of time, I came back and I said, you know what, God? I don't want to do this without you. I don't care. I don't even need to be popular. That doesn't need to be my God. I am going to follow you because, and I'm going to be different. That's going to be my choice. And so don't copy the behaviors of this world, but let God transform me. He set me free. Not to say that I didn't make some bad choices. I'm a sinner just like everyone else, but I wanted to live for him. I wanted my friends in that class and that whole school to know that I belong to Jesus. And what I think is so funny is that there was a girl that came from another school that my mom said, oh, you and Mimi should be good friends because she's a wonderful Christian girl. And I thought, no way, because that wasn't going to help me with my popularity. But after that very short period of time, guess who became my friend? Mimi. Guess who became my very best friend? Mimi. And the thing is that when I was following Jesus, he gave me this most faithful friend that would pray with me and that set us free to be who we were in Christ. And funniest thing of all is that old popularity thing. Guess who was homecoming queen? My friend Mimi. And I was so blessed by that. These are defining moments in my life. When I was 12, when I was in ninth grade, and then again, my second year out of high school, I was the one kid in my family that knew from the time I was a very little girl exactly what I was going to go to school for and what I was going to do. And that was I was going to be a nurse. And I entered nurse's training the first year out of high school, and the strangest thing happened. By the middle of that year, I knew I could not continue with that program because I was afraid. My parents couldn't understand it. My lead teacher in nurses training encouraged me to keep on going, but I quit. And I finished out with just generals that school year. And that summer I went home, and I now had no direction. I did not know what God's will for me was. And so I came up with a plan as I prayed through the summer. I had three options. We had a Korean orphan, Kim Hung Bai, for many years through World Vision. And my parents were personal friends with Larry Ward, who was the president of World Vision out in California. I thought, how wonderful to work in that orphanage. So I wrote to Larry Ward at the beginning of the summer, and I said, I would like to work in a Korean orphanage for World Vision. And he wrote me a very nice letter back and said, you would have to speak Korean. I hadn't thought about that part. So that was done. So another thing that I thought would be really great, this was during the years of the hippie movement. It was also the years of the Jesus Revolution. And I knew there was a group of, I'd heard that there was a group of Jesus people in Duluth. And so I thought, I want to go and live with the Jesus people and tell everybody about Jesus. Now that was a great plan, except my parents were quite opposed to that. There was a lot of iffy things going on there. My third choice was that I would be a living sacrifice and I would go to Oak Hills Bible College for 1 year to just immerse myself in the Word of God. And I wasn't very excited about that until about a month before school started and I found out there wasn't room for me. And I cried. And I thought, I think that's where you really want me, God. 2 weeks before school started, I got a letter that said that there was room for me and that I could come. So I had 2 weeks to prepare. Very early in the year, probably because of what was being taught or just God's working in my life, God began to speak to me in a way that I had never known before. And I was afraid of what God might ask me to do. Now, there wasn't a voice, and I don't even know how to describe it, except that it was so clear in my mind that I knew it was from God. And what God was saying to me in my prayer time is, will you go anywhere? Will you do anything that I ask you? And I would say, yes, God, I fully surrender to you, but I have two requests, God. Please, I want to be married, and I want to be a mother. And I do not want to go to Africa as a single missionary, but I will do anything else you ask me. And I'd go back, and in my heart and in my mind, it just this wrestling match was going on. And God was saying so clear in my mind, that's not what I asked you, Janine. I asked you, will you go anywhere? Will you do anything I ask you? And I'm a truther, and I don't lie to God. And so this wrestling went on for a good week or so. And finally I said, God, I will go anywhere. I will do anything you ask me to do. I will even, if you ask me, go to Africa as a single missionary because I belong to you. And it really came out of these verses. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And I surrendered. And I had peace. And then very shortly afterwards, my best friend at Oak Hill suddenly started looking a whole lot different to me. And after my surrender, God did give me the desires of my heart. He gave me the husband he had planned for me. He gave me children. And he has taken me on an adventure that I could never have planned for myself. I would never have ended up 6 miles south of Akeley, Minnesota for 6 years at a little country church where it was the boot camp where God taught me so much about following him. I would never have ended up in Embarrass, Minnesota. How would I have ever ended up here? to be on this great, so far 40-year adventure with all of you. I have thanked God over and over for taking control of that. So as I look back, it's like God has been faithful, and these verses, how he has let me live these verses out, my heart is just overflowing. And so I am very, very thankful to him. And my encouragement is that you just immerse yourself in these verses and trust God, because guess what? He knows all, and he loves you.
Thank you, Janine. So the Apostle Paul here pleads with us, pleads with his brothers and sisters, those who have experienced God's great salvation, to consider surrendering all, offering all, every part of us, to him. He pleads with us to let God do his transforming work so that we might become different. And he pleads with us to learn God's will, to be willing to learn his will. But many of us are afraid of those things, and maybe that's you. Could this be the time for you to break through those fears? Maybe it is. Is it time to stop fearing the barriers that you've built up and start fighting through them? Breaking through is your choice. God will help you. Is it time to stop faking it? To stop pretending like you've given all? To stop pretending like you're letting God change you? To start pretending that you really want to know God's will for your life? Is it time to stop faking it and start faithing it? Trusting God, trusting his word, if you surrender all and let him make you different and you learn God's will for your life. It's reasonable. Paul tells us that. After all that God has done for us in our salvation and beyond, it's reasonable and it is worth it. There is so much more waiting for you if you surrender all. Let God change you so that you can become different and then learn his will for you. I want to close by reading a paragraph from a book I've been looking at this week by Mark Batterson called All In. I recommend it. It's a great read. It's challenging. Called All In. Here's what he says. When did we start believing that God wants to send us to safe places to do easy things? That faithfulness is just holding the fort? That playing it safe is safe? That there could be any greater privilege than sacrifice? That radical is anything but normal? Jesus didn't die to keep us safe. He died to make us dangerous. Faithfulness is not just holding the fort. The will of God is not an insurance plan. It's a daring plan. The complete surrender of your life to the cause of Christ isn't radical. It's normal. It's time to quit living as if the purpose of life is just to arrive safely at death and then relax in heaven. It's time to go all in and all out for our all-in-all God. Friends, my prayer is that when this health crisis ends, and it will, many of us will come out of it with a renewed surrender of all that we are to the great God who saved us. That we will come out of it with a renewed willingness to become different and make a difference. And with a renewed excitement to learn and live God's will for our lives. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the Apostle Paul and his heart and his pleading with your people because of all that you have done for us, that we would surrender all, that we would let you do your transforming work, change our thinking, make us different. And by doing that, we would learn what your will is for our lives. Father, as we continue to think about this, as we consider what fears are putting up barriers, Father, minister to our hearts. May there be breakthroughs, and may your children find out that it is worth it to be all in with you. In the name of our Savior, Jesus, amen.